Hey, On the Clock fans, if you guys like what you've been hearing, make sure you give the show some love. The next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, before you do, go to our website, ontheclockpodcast.com, and click the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you anything, but it helps us get credit for the referral, and it helps keep the show on the air. Remember, before you're buying anything on Amazon, just go to our website at ontheclockpodcast.com and click the amazon.com banner. And thanks again for listening.
Are we ready?
Oh, yeah!
Time to get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger. Only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks again for tuning into the You're on the Clock podcast. My name is Matt Geiger, once again coming to you from the armpit of New Jersey, joined as always by the Blue Meanie. What are you doing over there? Iron Mike's in the studio, guys.
Hello.
Today's show, we're going to recap all of the Week 9.
Hey, you got one right.
We're recovering. We are recapping everything Week 9, and we're looking forward to Week 10. We're also going to go over a few numbers that you might not necessarily think.
Think too much about. You might be surprised at.
Right. So we're just going to jump right into it. And we're going to start with some injuries news and notes. First, coming from Denver, where Aqib Talib has been suspended one game for poking a player in the eye.
Dwayne Allen
in the eye. I didn't know who it was. Huge uptick in dirty play in the NFL as of recent. LaMarcus Joyner faces being suspended as well. It hasn't been announced for what Mike Zimmer claims to be a dirty hit. I think it was just a spur of the moment type of thing with Joyner. But nonetheless, Talib poked Dwayne Allen in the eye and is suspended for one game.
It was a knucklehead move, too, because if he had not gotten that penalty, then they might have had a chance to get the ball back and maybe drive down the field.
No, that's not the penalty that screwed them on that last drive. Aqib Talib jumped or had a defensive holding penalty.
It might not have been
Talib that had the defensive holding, but there was a defensive holding penalty.
But this one on happened the field. First.
Oh, yeah, okay. But then there was a defensive holding penalty on a field goal that gave Indy a first down.
Which totally ended the game. But this one gave them a first down, too.
Oh.
It's a personal foul. Every personal foul is an automatic first down.
Wide receiver for the St. Louis Rams, Stegman Bailey.
Going back to Joyner, sorry to cut you off, but you just don't think it's a dirty hit because you're a Rams fan.
No, it's not that. Obviously, the hit shouldn't... You shouldn't put yourself in a position to have to make that hit. I just think it's one of those quick, you know, spur of the moment type of hit.
It definitely was a bang play.
He acted in the motion of Bridgewater still running, and it was too late. He could have pulled up, but, you know.
It's a bang bang play.
Right. Bridgewater is expected to play this week, according to Zimmer. But sticking with the Rams, Stedman Bailey suspended 4 games for violation of the substance abuse policy. The drug in question is unknown, and quite frankly, the On the Clock podcast doesn't give a shit.
Nope.
But because of the suspension, the Rams went out and signed veteran receiver and mashed potato brains Wes Welker to a contract. I'm not sure what the numbers are on it.
I'm going to look into the numbers right
now. Mike's going to look into it while I keep going. Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Allen Hurns has a sprained left foot. His status is uncertain for his game against the Ravens.
Yes, he's always on the injury report, though.
Right, but this is a little... I think they said he was in a walking boot Monday. And today's Tuesday, by the way. Sticking with the injury bug, Patriots running back Deion Lewis has a torn ACL. He's out for the remainder of the year. And for you fantasy guys... me and Mike were talking about this off air before the show. I wouldn't necessarily be running out to go after Brandon Bolden. I mean, he's a guy that's going to get touches, but it's definitely going to be a split for the Deion Lewis role between Brandon Bolden and James White. So, you know, people are so quick to run out and add these guys after an injury, but you don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, the only guy that's going to really benefit from this is LeGarrette Blount. He'll see the carries that Lewis was getting.
Backup quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, Luke McCown, is out for the season with a back injury. And the only reason this is relevant is because the Saints went out and signed Matt Flynn. So, I mean,
still kind of irrelevant, but right. It's Flynn's like sixth team this year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Let's see. Oakland running back Latavius Murray has a concussion. He'll go through the protocol. He was having a pretty good game before he took that hit. But he was having issues fumbling the ball.
He was, and I had some people over watching the game. And you know how when these players get hit, me and you know right away when it's a concussion because they get those T-Rex arms that don't move.
They didn't want to believe me. Similar to what happened to Bridgewater, but Bridgewater, I don't think, sustained a concussion. They just wanted to keep him out.
Well, Bridgewater kind of just rolled over and fell asleep. He was snoozing.
Yeah, he was out. I saw the hit. I knew Murray had a concussion, and he has a history of concussions too. Tywan Jones, I think, would be the name to keep an eye out on.
Tywan Jones.
They had another
in this
guy
game. They did a bigger guy, but in this game, you saw Marcel Reese get a few touches, and he made the most of them.
Yeah, definitely.
He had a few good runs.
Definitely. Sticking with running backs, Bills running back LeSean McCoy has a shoulder injury, although Rex Ryan said he should play Thursday night against the Jets. Listen, I mean, if he plays or doesn't play, Carlos Williams is going to have an impact. You know, I know a lot of people might have dropped him in fantasy once McCoy came back, but he's worth owning, I think.
Carlos Williams?
Yes.
Hell yeah, he had over 100 yards.
I saw him available in like three out of my...
With two touchdowns.
Yeah. Quarterback Big Ben from the Pittsburgh Steelers has a midfoot sprain. He said he's not going to rule himself out for the game this week. You probably want to keep your eyes peeled for that. I thought it could have been a torn Achilles, judging by the way his foot hit the...
Achilles.
His Achilles. Judging by the way his foot hit the ground, his foot... I'm trying to think of how to explain it. His toe dug into the turf, and then his foot bent the wrong way. So it looked pretty bad. I mean, he got up, but then he got helped to the sideline, and then he eventually got on a cart and carted off the field. And then the last piece of news we have is the Chargers wide receiver Malcolm Floyd has a shoulder injury, and the Chargers cornerback Jason Verrett has a groin injury. Their statuses are both uncertain, although they do have a bye this week. I would say Verrett has the better chance of coming back without a problem. This could be a big issue because the Chargers are down a few receivers right now.
I have something on the Wes Welker contract. It doesn't say anything about how much he's going to be making this year, but it is a one-year deal, and it allows him to make up to $700,000 in incentives based on playing time and catches.
I'm assuming that he's working out on the veteran minimum, which I think is like, I want to say 1.2.
Mil?
Yeah.
Yeah, league minimum is somewhere around 350, right? 350,000.
No, 640,000.
Is it that much now? That's crazy. That's real crazy.
League minimum for a player with no accrued seasons in 2014 is $420,000.
It's insane.
A player on the practice squad for an entire year makes $107,000.
That's insane, too.
Let me see.
I got to get myself on a practice squad. Open up a gems.
Right. Veteran minimum in 2015 is $585,000. The contract must only be for 1 year and must not contain combined bonuses that exceed $65,000. So he's not on a veteran minimum.
Because he's got a chance to make $1 million
right,
bucks.
Because his accelerators.
Over the next 8 weeks. Gonna go over week 9 real quick.
Yeah, let's do a quick week 9 recap for the pick'em. We'll go over our standings and then we'll check in with our fantasy golden garbage.
Right, Matt went 9-4 last week. I went 7-7, bringing the total year standings to Matt leading by 8 games, 89 wins to 81 wins. You want to do a quick rundown of last week's scores?
Let's just go over some of the key ones.
Carolina beat Green Bay.
Huge game. Carolina had a chance to win it, and or Green Bay had a chance to win it. I'm sorry. Did you see the aftermath of that when Aaron Rodgers slammed the tablet?
Yeah, I saw that. I'd be pissed too.
Yeah, he missed he missed.
He had Cobb.
He had the chance to hit Randall Cobb. He was wide open on the right side of the end zone, right? And then when he went back to the bench, his coaches were showing him the tape on the tablet, and he just took this tablet and spiked it into the ground. That's a big game because now Carolina's 8-0.
Packers are tied for the division lead.
Pull up their schedule real quick.
The division lead.
Yes,
now.
The Packers and the Vikings are tied for first in their division. But more importantly, Carolina, this is the toughest game on their schedule, and they have a chance to run. Pull up Carolina's schedule.
Oh. I thought you meant Green Bay's schedule.
Carolina has a chance to run the tables for the regular season.
How many times have
we
talked about Carolina's schedule this year?
I just want to see the remaining schedule.
We just did it last week.
Okay, well, we're going to do it again this week.
Ugh.
This was the biggest game for them.
Yes, it was a tough game.
Okay. From what we looked at, there's really... I don't think there could be anybody that'll really contest them except for the division games. You know how division games
are. Yeah, they got Atlanta twice in the last 3 weeks.
And then they also have New Orleans. They have twice Tampa Bay. They have the Giants, Dallas, Washington, and Tennessee. If they're going to lose anything, I see them losing two games. But that'll give them the one seed in the NFC.
Oh, for sure.
So I thought that was something that we should be paying attention to, looking forward for the second half of the season. Any other games that are catching your eye?
Yeah, I mean, real quick, Tennessee beat New Orleans in New Orleans in overtime, and this just proves that the Saints aren't really a true contender this year. In my eyes.
Mariota looked good again.
In my eyes, Mariota did look good. You got the Vikings in overtime beating the Rams, tying up for first place in the NFC North.
Legatron.
He missed one early, right?
No, what happened was he made a 61, then he missed a 48.
Yeah. That's what I just said. He missed one early in the game.
I think it was in the third or the fourth.
Whatever.
But, a missed field goal inevitably led to the loss. Overtime was. Now, the Rams scored their first touchdown. I think their only touchdown. They scored. They go for two. Don't ask me why. They go for two. Don't convert it. If they kick the extra point, they win this game by 1 point.
If they kick the extra point and make that field goal?
No.
Oh, because it would have been 19.
It would have been 18-18 in overtime. The game ended 18-18 going to overtime. If they kicked the extra point, it would have been 19-18 instead of, whatever. I don't know. I'm pissed. I'm a salty Rams fan. The San Francisco 49ers beat the Atlanta Falcons 17-16.
Not a lot of people saw coming, but...
Nobody saw coming. Led behind Blaine Gabbert, who was announced as a starter for this week's game against the Seahawks.
You know what, though? You kind of look past things like that and you say, oh, Atlanta has this game. San Fran has no way to win it. But if you look at the spread... In Vegas, it was somewhere around 8 points. And Atlanta being 8-point favorites on the road, that's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy because they're not really that great of a team if you look back at their last few weeks.
The Indianapolis Colts beat the Denver Broncos 27-24. A Peyton Manning interception was costly towards the end of the game.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming either, really.
Andrew Luck showing some of his old form. Playing recently. And
the Dallas Cowboys still don't have a win without Tony Romo.
There goes my pick. More importantly, on Monday night, the Bears win on a late play touchdown by...
Zach Miller.
His last catch was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, he's missed a few years.
And it was a nice catch.
Yeah, it was. Got one hand on it and then brought it in. Rolled into the end zone.
All right, so... Good for them. That leaves the Pick'em standings at
89 and 43 for Matt, 81 and 52 for Iron Mike.
I'm on fire right now. I went 9-4 last week. Mike went 7-7. Real quick, we're going to recap last week's fantasy golden garbage, and then we're going to move right on to week 10. just recapping my gold, I had Eli at quarterback. He finished with 18. Not bad. Allen Robinson finished with 18 as well. Nice pick up for nice pick for me.
If you would have had a touchdown, that would have been great.
Yeah. Mark Ingram was my gold running back. He finished with 13 points. And my tight end was Austin Seferian-Jenkins. He did not play. So I washed that.
Tell you what, Ingram could have had a really good game at 19, but Drew Brees threw a ball double covered into the end zone. If he would have came down with that, that would have put you at 19, but Drew Brees had no business throwing that ball into the end zone. Real quick, I did terrible with my gold picks. Winston had 18. Rishard Matthews had 9. The only bright spot was DeMarco Murray had 28 points. And Clive Walford did catch a touchdown, like I said. It was his only catch.
I do have to say, though, coming from the tight end spot this week, that wasn't a bad pick.
No, because there was a lot of guys, big name guys, who didn't really play well.
All right, so moving on to our garbage picks of the week. I picked Andrew Luck as my quarterback. Arguably the worst thing I did this week because he finished with 25. But I had Dante Moncrief, who finished with 6. Adrian Peterson, who finished with 22. And Martellus Bennett finished with 20. I did terrible.
Yeah, but that's nothing new. I picked any San Fran quarterback. It ended up being Blaine Gabbert, and he ended up playing well. He got 21 points. T.Y. Hilton had 13, along with T.J. Yeldon had 13. Not the best, not the worst. And Jordan Reed had 11, which only happened because of the one touchdown he had. You take that away, and it's 4.
Yep.
And definitely. That was kind of later in the game, too. So, you want to go into this week's Golden Garbage?
Yeah, but before we do that, we have some great stuff for you guys that we want to talk about real quick. Hey, On the Clock listeners. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. They have titles such as The Girl on the Train, The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, Divergent by Veronica Roth, Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg, The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak, and Crush It, Why Now is the Time to Cash In on Your Passion by Gary Vaynerchuk. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/ontheclock. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ontheclock for your free audiobook. Also, we have some great news brought to you by Lineup Media Group. We're announcing the NHL podcast on nhlpodcast.com, and it's called Chasing Pucks with Panger. Darren Panger played his entire NHL career with the Chicago Blackhawks, and Kelly Chase retired from professional hockey in 2000 and is currently the color commentator for the St. Louis Blues radio broadcasts. They're bringing you great content every week, anything you need to know about the NHL, and they're doing it only on Lineup Media Group, so make sure you guys are going to give them a listen. All right, guys, now that we're done paying the bills, we're going to jump right into the Week 10 picks and our Week 10 Fantasy Golden Garbage. And while we're doing the picks, we have some unique stuff that we're going to give you guys. Stop touching things because it makes noise that people don't like hearing. Okay. Let's go into it.
Me have ADD. Fantasy Gold and Garbage quarterback. I got Blake Bortles this week. He's going up against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. And they cannot cover wide receivers. The Jaguars have two pretty good ones, Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson.
They can't cover receivers. Yeah. Oh, you're on gold.
Yes. Okay. Gold, Matt. Gold. Hello. Tuesday. Good morning.
Hello. My fantasy gold pick is Carson Palmer. I like the matchup against Seattle for whatever reason. I just think that Palmer is going to show up to play. I think Fitzgerald's a non-factor, but I think Brown, Floyd, and other Brown.
Fitz?
No.
Jerron Brown.
Fitz is a non-factor. He's going against Sherman. And they've started to move Sherman around a little bit more.
Yes.
But I think Palmer exploits the defense, even though, you know, Seattle is what, the second best defense in the league right now as far as numbers go.
Yep, we'll get back into that later on.
And then my fantasy gold pick for receiver is Randall Cobb, who had a big game this week, 4 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown. I just think that they're in win now mode after dropping two straight, and they need to turn it around and run away with the division. I think Cobb has a big part in them having success on their offense.
My wide receiver gold this week is going to be Demaryius Thomas.
For the worst reason
ever. It's not the worst reason. One, because he hasn't really been doing anything. And they're playing against Kansas City, who also a team that can't cover wide receivers.
He hasn't done anything? He's fifth in the league in receiving.
But I'm saying, on a level of Demaryius Thomas, who's usually the best wide receiver, where's his touchdowns? Where's his touchdowns?
That's Peyton's fault.
You're going to see him this week. You're going to see them this week. The reason Matt's talking about it is because the guy's mom is getting out of jail for the first time. I think it's been over 15 years she's been in jail, and she's never seen him play football before. I think it's a motivational boost.
Yes, it's a motivational boost, but is that going to motivate Peyton Manning to put the ball in his hands?
Yes, Peyton's a good guy. So. Your mother just got out of jail.
What if it's cable TV?
Here's a touchdown.
What if it's cable TV, Peyton Manning?
Your mother just got out of jail. My running back, gold, Doug Martin. They are playing against Dallas Cowboys, who are fantasy statistically bad against running back.
Yes, sir. Is that all you got on that?
Yeah, go with your gold running back.
My fantasy gold running back is DeMarco Murray. The Eagles are playing against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins aren't terrible against running backs, but I think this is the type of game where DeMarco Murray could succeed. It should be close, which means he'll get a lot of carries. I think it'll be a close game. And my fantasy gold at tight end is Kyle Rudolph for the simple reason that Minnesota plays the Raiders.
Yeah, it's a good reason.
Worst team in the league against tight ends.
It's a good reason. My gold's going to be Jordan Reed. He had a tough time last week, which we kind of said he would against New England, who takes away the best player. This week they are playing New Orleans, who's another bad team at defending tight ends. Jumping right into the garbage, my quarterback's going to be Russell Wilson. Arizona's defense is really good.
Agreed. My garbage play at quarterback is Eli Manning, who will be playing against the New England Patriots. I think the Patriots' defense is a little underrated, and I think Eli has some trouble with the pass rush. My garbage wide receiver ties into my gold quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald is on Sherman.
Watch. Sure.
I was going to call it Sherman Island, but I'm not doing that.
No, you can't do that. He's nowhere near Darrell Revis.
Agreed.
Fantasy garbage wide receiver for me. I also have Fitzgerald as one of my picks, but if Aqib Talib appeals this one-game suspension and gets the appeal and it drags out any further than this week, and he plays this week, I got Jeremy Maclin because he's probably going to be defending Jeremy Maclin.
I would keep Maclin there no matter what, because if Talib doesn't get Maclin, then Chris Harris gets Maclin.
I think Chris Harris will stay somewhere else on somebody else.
On who?
No, you're definitely right. They don't have another receiver, but
if Talib plays in this game, then I would see Talib playing on Kelsey.
Talib and Harris are two totally different players.
Talib's more physical, so why would you play on Kelsey?
If they were playing against New England, Talib's a guy you're going to put on Gronk. Harris is a guy you're going to put on Amendola or Edelman. He's a smaller guy.
Right, so why wouldn't Harris play on Maclin?
Because Maclin's more physical.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, my fantasy garbage start at running back is Jeremy Langford. He's coming off of a game where I think he had like close to 150 yards total and a touchdown, which is exactly what you want from a guy who's replacing a first-round pick in Matt Forte. But at the same time, the Bears are playing a tough Rams defense, and I know the Rams gave up a bunch of yards to Adrian Peterson, but Langford is not Adrian Peterson.
No, he's not.
Expect to see a drop in numbers.
My fantasy garbage running back is going to be CJ OK. He's going up against the Seahawks, who allow, on average, just 76 yards a game. Less than half a touchdown a game to running backs.
I like that stat.
Yeah.
My garbage start at tight end, Jimmy Graham, going against the Arizona Cardinals, who have literally went from worst to first in tight end coverage from last year to this year.
Todd Bowles brought it all with him to New York.
I think he might have. Graham hasn't really seen a lot of success, even though he'll probably end up finishing as a top 10 tight end. It's not hard to do. I could see Graham with like four catches for like 35 yards. Mike, who's your last garbage pick?
Tight end garbage. Julius Thomas.
Of course.
He's had some here and there games, 20 points. But he's going up against the Ravens, who are awful at defending wide receivers, which makes them good at defending tight ends.
Yeah.
Because they don't really throw it to them.
That's going to do it for Week 10 Fantasy Golden Garbage. We are now jumping right into Week 10 Pick'em.
Week 10 Pick'em, Thursday Night Football.
Da-da-da-da.
Ba-da-ba-da. Buffalo Bills go to MetLife Stadium, New York Jets. Thursday night.
I
can only be seen on the NFL Network.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I can't listen to it on the radio while I'm at work. I think the Jets have the upper hand right now. Buffalo's healthy again, but the Jets are getting their stuff back together.
Buffalo's won their last three meetings, but I'm going to stick with the Jets. The Jets this year have been solid. Surprisingly, they have the 11th overall best offense in the NFL and the fourth best defense. Now, Buffalo has the second best rushing offense in this league, but that's something the Jets, other than last week against Oakland, have been defending well. You want to add anything to that?
Yeah, Fitzpatrick, 12th in the league in touchdown passes, but he has a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. Pretty decent quarterback rating. Not much to add. On Buffalo's side, I will say that Tyrod Taylor had a great game last week, but I think going up against this Jets defense is a lot different. He was 11 for 12 last week. 8 of those catches went to Sammy Watkins, who will be on Revis Island.
Yeah, most likely, but there's a good chance that Sammy gets behind him. Good chance.
Depends on how healthy he is.
Remember one game last year, it was like an 80-yard-plus touchdown maybe in MetLife Stadium.
Depends on how healthy he is.
Yeah,
and it wasn't in MetLife because Revis wasn't in MetLife last year.
True. Good point. I forgot that whole gap where Darrell didn't play for the Jets. I totally forgot about that.
Because you're a homer.
Yes.
All right, go to the first one.
Let's go to Lambeau, 1 o'clock. You got the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. Detroit, surprisingly, has won 2 of the last 3 meetings. But what do you think about this Sunday?
Detroit doesn't stand a chance, man.
No, I don't think so either. Surprisingly, 9th overall in passing, and the secondary of Green Bay is just bad. Green Bay this year is in trouble, especially with their offense. Their offense is the 25th overall offense.
Who has more passing yards right now?
Between who?
Stafford and Rodgers.
Stafford.
He does. Yes. By a lot.
Rodgers is like way down there.
The difference is Stafford's 13th, Rodgers is 17th, and it is it's only about a 100-yard difference, but the difference, Stafford has 13 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Rodgers has 19 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So Rodgers.
It's like a 6-1 ratio for Rodgers.
Rodgers is tied for third with touchdown passes, and he's thrown the second least amount of interceptions in the league, I believe. But, I just think that the offense is too much for Detroit to handle.
Yeah, probably.
Their
defense isn't
Green Bay. Green Bay saw success with their offense. It was just their defense that struggled last week, but I don't think that's the case.
As Green Bay's offense has been this year, the Lions' defense has been just as bad. So for that, I'm taking the Packers as well.
And also, real quick, one of the things that you don't see very often, Megatron out of the top 10 in receiving yards.
Today, Junior.
Megatron outside of the top 10 in receiving yards.
All right. Next up on the slate, you got the Dallas Cowboys going down to Tampa Bay to play the Bucs. The Dallas Cowboys have won all 3 of their last 3 versus the Bucs, dating back to 2009. Who do you like, Matt?
Jeez. Is this the dumpster fire game of the week?
No.
No? There's a worse game than this?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Pull up the offensive rankings. Let me see.
Both teams middle of the road here.
Give me Dallas. I don't have much analysis for this game.
Well, listen, you know, both teams are middle of the road teams, except for rushing. Both teams 7th and 8th in rushing. Tampa Bay's got the upper hand. Tampa Bay's defense has been a little bit better this year. Surprisingly, 11th overall in defense. Both teams are having
trouble.
That's
on an uptick in the last few games.
It has, but you know, both teams are having trouble defending the pass, which is kind of irrelevant in this game because neither team has had success passing the ball, really.
Yeah. Last week, Mike Evans finished with 8 catches for 152. He didn't have a touchdown, but the thing that scares me about Evans is he was targeted 16 times, 2 were overthrown, and he dropped 8. Or he dropped 6, I'm sorry. Most drops in a football game in 10 years. If he's getting that much volume, he should be doing way better than what he's doing.
Well, listen, in his defense, it was raining most of the game. And it's not easy to catch a ball in the rain.
I never played. I mean, I did, but I didn't, if that makes sense.
Next game, Carolina Panthers go to Tennessee to play the Titans. Titans have won 2 of the last 3. Going back
against
to
against Carolina?
Yeah, against Carolina, going back to 07. But this year, Carolina's number 1 in rushing offense.
What was that stat that you just gave? About
back to 07, Titans have won 2.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'll take Carolina.
Yeah, I got Carolina in this one too.
Sorry if it got loud on you guys.
Yes, it probably did. Next game is the Chicago Bears going to St. Louis. St. Louis's defense, 5th overall, and they're 4th in rushing offense.
Yep.
Surprisingly, and I'd assume it has something to do with John Fox, the Bears' defense is 9th overall, which is a big shocker to me. But I don't think it's going to matter much because the St. Louis Rams have an awful passing offense.
32nd in the league. The Rams haven't thrown for over 300 yards since week one. And, I mean, the defense should keep them in this game. The problem is the Rams have been susceptible to give up big games to number one receivers. And just to give you some idea of how good Alshon Jeffrey's been, his last 3 games, 10 catches, 151, 0 touchdowns. That was the Monday night game against the Chargers.
Last night.
Right. Against the Vikings, 10 catches, 116, and a touchdown. And then the week before that against the Lions, 8 catches for 147 and a touchdown. He's good.
That third-round pick is finally paying off for me.
Yep. I don't know how much a game-changer Jeffrey could be. If the Rams don't get the offense working, they're going to find themselves in a hole. I'm going to take the Rams, but I'm not as confident as I should be going into a game where they're playing a team that's 3-5.
If you can't pass the ball in the NFL, you're going to have a hard time winning. You can't run the ball every game and win, which is what they've been doing. They have 4 wins. They're 4th overall in rushing, and I don't think they win this one. Chicago's been playing well lately.
Todd Gurley's on pace to finish 2nd all time in rookie rushing behind only Eric Dickerson, meaning he's on pace to have a better rookie year than Adrian Peterson. But Mike's right. You have to have some balance on offense, and the way this team is panning out, they're gonna have to use the passing game to start opening up the running game, because otherwise they could stack 9 or 10 guys in the box.
Yeah.
Who's catching balls? Wes Welker. Don't pick up Wes Welker in fantasy football. He's not going to have the impact that you guys are thinking he's going to have.
No, a lot of timing and chemistry goes into the NFL.
Especially with a guy like Welker.
Yeah.
Who's running very precise routes.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is New Orleans New Orleans going to Washington. New Orleans has a first-ranked offense.
Second passing, 25th rushing. This year, Washington, exact opposite of last year. They're defending the pass very well, and they've been absolutely able to do nothing against the run.
Bold prediction here. This is going to be the highest scoring game of the week.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, who do you like?
I like the Saints.
You like the Saints? Perfect. This is my opportunity to catch up in the standings this week because I like Washington.
I don't know why you do.
Why? Because the only thing New Orleans can do is pass the ball, okay? The only thing that the Redskins are good at is defending the pass. The Saints can't run the ball. The Skins can't defend the run.
All right.
I give the advantage to the home team.
Next game.
Next game is the Dolphins going to Philadelphia to play the Eagles.
Ooh. I actually think this could be one of the better games of the week.
Eagles have won the last three meetings.
Bradford looked good last night.
He looked all right. Sunday night.
Sunday night, I'm sorry. Matthews had a big game. DeMarco Murray had a big game. They're playing at home. I'll take Philly.
I like Philly as well.
Philly at home, I feel like, is a different team.
Philly at home.
Can we see what they're...
Yeah, look into it.
Yeah.
Both teams here, middle-of-the-road teams, kind of, but you look at...
You're seeing both offenses on an upswing, though.
Yeah, both offenses are on an upswing, even though the Dolphins have lost their last two, maybe. New England and last week against Buffalo. Yep. So, the one thing that jumps out here, surprisingly, is the Eagles have the 10th best rushing offense.
Philly's 2-1 at home.
So Philly's 2-1 at home.
They've seen some success. It's, you know, it's still pretty early.
I guess one thing that works out for them, being in week 9 right now, they've only played 3 home games.
Yeah.
This is going to be their 4th going into week 10. So, down the stretch, they're probably going to have... advantage in this NFC.
Home East. Against the Dolphins, home against the Buccaneers. Then they have two away games, and they're home against the Bills, home against the Cardinals, home against the Redskins, and then they close at New York.
How many home games is that down the road?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It sounds like a good thing. I only think they win 3.
That's bold, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. All right, next game, Cleveland going to Heinz Field to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who might be without Ben Roethlisberger.
They might be, but...
I don't think it matters.
Not according to these numbers, because Pittsburgh's the 5th best rushing team in the NFL right now. Pittsburgh's won the last 2 of 3 versus the Browns.
I think the more surprising thing about that is their 5th in rushing, due in large part to D'Angelo Williams.
D'Angelo's been solid for them, but as of this morning, D'Angelo had swelling in his foot. So that's something to keep your eye on. If you're a Steelers fan, if you're a D'Angelo Williams owner in fantasy, another stat here that stands out to me is that the Cleveland Browns are 15th overall in passing. Not great, but it's middle of the road for a team that's 2-7.
They're actually, I think they're better when Joe Hayden doesn't play than when he does.
Which has absolutely nothing to do with the offense. Who you like in this game?
I
think this is the dumpster fire game.
It might be.
That's why I said no to the Dallas game.
I don't want to if this. I want to pick it straight out. I'll take the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers, too.
D'Angelo Williams, 15th in the league with 480 yards, and that's in, what, 3 starts?
1, 2, 3 and a half, kind of.
And then Le'Veon Bell, 11th with 566. So, I mean, pretty even split.
They're getting the ball. They're getting the job done running the ball without Pouncey, too.
Right, but
remember,
now,
Pouncey's been out
all year. Now more than anything, they need to run the ball.
Oh, absolutely, if they want to make a shot at the, you know, at a playoff run.
Especially if Landry Jones is playing quarterback.
I agree. Let's go on to the next game, Jacksonville. At Baltimore, we talked about this one a little bit while we were covering fantasy. Baltimore has won 2 out of the last 3. Surprisingly, Jacksonville's offense, middle of the road, 16th. Their defense is 18th. it's running the ball where they're having some problem. 23rd overall.
Struggling Baltimore secondary faces Blake Bortles and two receivers that are ranked in the top 20 in yardage. And Bortles is having a pretty good year himself, showing why he deserved that first round.
Blake Bortles is going to be good down the road.
Ninth overall, 17 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, so a 2-1. But he's been getting better at that. I think Jacksonville's offense is too much for Baltimore, and surprisingly, Jacksonville's defense is playing exceptionally well. I'm going to take Jacksonville.
You hate doing that? When you said, I hate doing this, I thought you were going to take Baltimore. This one's a no-brainer, taking Jacksonville.
All right, then I guess there's nothing to argue about. Go to the next game.
Nope, not at all. Start of the 4 o'clock games. The Minnesota Vikings go out west. O.co Coliseum. Oakland Raiders. Matt, who do you like? Minnesota's won two of the last three meetings. The last two meetings, actually.
I like Minnesota here. Latavius Murray's banged up. And on top of that, Minnesota's been good against the run. I hope Bridgewater plays. I'll take Minnesota.
I originally had picked Minnesota. I thought you were going to take Oakland. But to try and catch up in the standings, I'm switching it up. I'm going to take Oakland. Oakland's been really good offensively, eighth overall. The problem they're having is on defense. Running the ball, they're middle of the road. Passing the ball, they're top 10. So we just got to hope, for my standing's sake, that they get the job done, move to 5-4.
The big surprise for Minnesota is that Stephon Diggs has emerged as a true threat, not just, you know, a flash in the pan. He was quiet
last week.
Well, you know, St. Louis does have a pretty good defense, but
they're all right.
All right, so the next game is the New England Patriots playing in New Jersey at the Swamp, MetLife Stadium, against the New York Giants.
Wow, MetLife gets double action this week.
Thursday night and Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk much about this. The Patriots are good.
Patriots have the second best offense, eighth best defense. They're third in passing. The troubles they're having so far is running the ball.
Well, it's not trouble. They just pass on everybody because Gator don't give a damn.
I guess so.
Gator don't wear no Jimmy Cat.
The Giants have the worst defense in the NFL. Statistically, it's a stat. I'm looking at it right now.
I see it.
Yep.
And it's on the internet, so it's true.
I'm not just saying it because I think it. It's a fact. Who do you like?
Can I take the Patriots in a best 2 out of 3 falls match?
Don't go with that wrestling crap again.
Oh, I will fist fight you. Next game, division game, Kansas City Chiefs going to Sports Authority Field at Mile High Stadium to take on the Denver Broncos.
Congrats, you know how to read.
Did I read that?
Yeah, it's right.
No,
there.
I was looking at you in the eyes when I...
You read it before you looked at me.
I was gazing into your eyes. Give me the Broncos.
That's mad gaze. I'm taking the Broncos.
You don't say that stuff on this podcast.
You just said it.
I'm taking the Broncos.
I'm taking the Broncos, too. They've won their last three meetings versus them. Broncos, best defense in the league. Statistically.
Surprisingly.
I don't believe it.
Surprisingly, the Broncos have the 23rd ranked offense, and the Chiefs have the 24th ranked offense.
There's a lot of surprises on this show. Surprise.
Hey, Mike, what does that say Denver's defense is ranked?
If you listen to me when I talked, you would
I
know you don't, but you would realize that I literally just said it less than 2 minutes ago. I am seeing here Denver has the first.
Maybe I heard it. I just wanted to rub it in.
Defense in the league, but I still don't believe it, even though the facts are right there in front of me.
All right, so we're both taking Denver.
I'm still not buying into it.
Next game,
Arizona goes up the road to Seattle. I like Arizona.
I don't
care where the game's being played.
So do I.
Arizona's top 10 in everything in the league right now.
Yeah, they're playing amazing. I think you see a lot more Carson Palmer this week than you do the running game. maybe not so much Fitzgerald. I think John Brown could have a big game.
Whoever
is playing against Kerry Williams is going to have a huge game.
I hope it's John Brown.
I'll take Arizona.
Yeah, I like Arizona as well. Monday Night Football, you got the Houston Texans traveling to Cincinnati. Paul Brown Stadium. Undefeated Bengals, what do you think?
I think they stay undefeated. That's
look at this.
That's the amount of analysis I have for that.
Houston's won two of the last three.
Yeah, but that could be over a four-year stretch or six-year stretch.
It kind of is. It goes back to 2012.
I mean? Right. But then that's before Andy Dalton was a starter. I think that was...
He's in his fourth year, Andy Dalton.
Oh, well, now I'm just a huge idiot.
Yep, we know.
Well, this isn't... That was cable TV Andy Dalton and not DirecTV Andy Dalton.
Sure.
So I don't see it being much of a contest.
Ready for this game? Surprise. Surprise. Houston has the ninth best offense in the league right now.
That number is going to drop.
That number comes from being the sixth best in passing. Yeah, they can't run the ball for anything.
That's what I'm saying. That number is going to drop because they can't run the ball.
Well, they could maybe run the ball if Bill O'Brien wasn't such a shithead.
DeAndre Hopkins, third in the league with 870 receiving yards and... fourth in receptions, 66 catches.
Who are you taking?
I said I'm taking Cincy.
I wasn't listening. Sorry.
Well, at least we're both doing something similar.
You want to talk about DraftKings?
Yeah, before we end the podcast, we want to talk about last week's DraftKings standings where my future cousin-in-law.
Is that even a real thing? A
future cousin-in-law?
Cousin-in-law. Does anybody says this? Who says that?
My cousin's future husband.
Sure.
Ryan Flagg.
No disrespect or anything, but who says cousin-in-law?
I don't know. My good friend, my longtime friend, Ryan Flagg.
Who has the same birthday as me, I just found out a few years back.
I didn't even know that.
No?
No.
Yeah, we got the same birthday.
What did he finish with?
259 points.
I feel bad. I feel terrible because if he would have been in the Millionaire Maker, he could have won some money.
Yeah, maybe 1,000.
Somewhere around there because I know for a fact the guy who won finished with 271. So yeah. He was only 20 points off or 10 points off.
It was a good week. He had Roethlisberger, Gurley, D'Angelo Williams who put up 41. Antonio Brown had 49. He had Crabtree who had a good game who I think is going to continue to play well. Jeffrey, who had a good game. Delanie Walker had an amazing game. Kind of fluky, but it paid off.
The big thing here was he played Langford and D'Angelo Williams. He used his flex to put in Langford, and Delanie Walker was huge for him.
Delanie Walker was fluky, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Exactly. Points are points.
Points are points.
Shout out to username Bill Kelly for finishing in the top five, literally in fifth. Mike, where'd you finish?
14th.
Okay.
My first non-top 10 finish.
Flip your finish around, and that's where I finished.
Matt. Wow, way down there.
Oh, 39.
39.
Click on my team.
Nobody cares about a team that finished 39.
No, I just want to see how bad it was. I haven't looked at it. It was terrible. Why I started any Denver running back was beyond me. Anyway.
Danny, I'll beat you again.
Yeah. All right, so... once again, shout outs to Ryan for winning this week's contest. He takes home how much money?
I don't know. It's like 30 something bucks.
Yes, because we extended it to 50 people this week.
And a t-shirt.
And you get a t-shirt if you want it.
Stop giving people options. Just give it to them. Just give them.
We'll get Ryan a nice on the clock podcast t-shirt.
Give you a t-shirt too.
So we're going to do it again this week.
Oh, here we go. Talk about this guy.
Oh, Kenny the Barber.
Somebody doesn't watch football.
Literally showing love to the podcast and supporting us by joining the DraftKings tournament, filled out a lineup without knowing essentially anything about football. And
the man doesn't watch football.
Ended up finishing in fourth place. He so shout outs to Kenny the Barber from Supreme Team Barbershop. Yeah, good job. So yeah, we're going to do it again this week.
Do we dare go to 60?
Let's keep it at 50 for another week, see how
it goes.
Stop
being a pussy. Do it.
Can you? I don't know if you can go from 50 to 60. It might be from 50 to 100.
You can go 50 to 60.
We're keeping it at 50 right now. We're keeping it at 50 right now. Okay.
We are going to 60, folks.
No, we're not. That's going to do it for us today. Tune in next week when Iron Mike makes fun of me because the Rams lost to the Chicago Bears.
You want to make that our bet of the week?
We do need a bet of the week.
Chicago and the
I'll take St.
Chicago
Louis.
Chicago and St. Louis.
I'll take St. Louis.
I think Chicago's on the uptick here. They're going to try and salvage something, and they could. They're only three games back with, what, 8 weeks to play? They could make a run at this NFC North division.
I'm going to set my lock of the week, Jacksonville over Baltimore.
I'm not going to set a lock of the week because I never did.
All right, so that's going to do it for the Year on the Clock podcast. We want to say once again thank you to the Lineup Media Group, and make sure you're going to Year on the Clock or the On the Clock podcast.com.
Not the On the Clock, the podcast.
It's ontheclockpodcast.com. Make sure you check out the website. We have all of our podcasts up there. We also have the links for our Amazon and for our 30-day free trial of Audible, where you will get a free audio book. Help us out, support the show. I know a bunch of people said that they're going to use the Amazon link to buy some stuff. And we appreciate everything that you guys are doing to support us, and we'll do as much as we can to give back.
Me, myself, I will all absolutely be using that link so I don't have to wait in line at stores.
Yeah, no more.
Shop right at home.
No more shopping at stores for Christmas, which is right around the corner. Tune in next week. Thanks again for listening to the Year on the Clock podcast. For Iron Mike, my name is Matt Geiger.
Suck it.
Okay.
You're on the Clock with Matt Geiger. Download the show and link to our social media account at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man, Behind the 8 Ball, and more.